turn to hymn number 358, great old hymn, Jesus Loves Even Me. That's why we're here today. Amen. Hymn number 358, let's sing it out, please.
Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms will I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Sing that chorus one more time.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity. Lord, to be in your house, we ask and pray that you would just help us today to glorify you. We're thankful, Lord, for the years that you've given us here in this place. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to remain faithful until the trumpet sounds and calls us home to glory. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray, Lord, you bless the speaker of the hour. And Lord, I pray that everything would bring glory and honor to thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's so good to see each and every one of you out today. The choir would like to sing a song that we did several years ago for our cantata, one of our Christmas cantatas, a great hymn. And it talks about our responsibility before God. And our greatest responsibility is for every person that's ever come into this world is to bow the knee before him. And so the choir would like to sing the song, Bow the Knee.
To come into God's presence, just to
Certainly each and every one of us need to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand, please. Turn to hymn number 281. We'll sing the first verse, and the choir will come down and join you this morning. Hymn number 281. Let's all stand together, please. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Everyone together on that first verse.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Turn to those that are next to you, greet them with the right hand of fellowship as the choir comes down. Let's sing that second verse. Hymn number 281. Grab your hymnal if you would, please. On that second verse.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. Everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms.
Amen. We're so glad that each and every one of you are here today. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me just give you some brief announcements, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to have another song. It's good to have each and every one of you here. And I look out over the auditorium, and I see some folks I haven't seen for a long time, and it's a blessing to me and to my family that you chose to be with us this morning, and I'm just thankful for that. And I want to remind you, right after the morning service, we have got dinner on the grounds. There's plenty of food back there. We'd encourage you all to stay. And I believe that they're frying up about 30 pounds of walleye back there, and also some perch. And they've got we've killed the fatted calf, and we've turned him into hamburgers and hot dogs, all right? All beef hot dogs, amen? So anyway, stick around if you would, please. We'll have a lot of food back there, a lot of fellowship, and I know that it'll be a blessing to you. In just a little bit, we're going to have Brother Mark Rogers and his family going to come and sing for us. And then throughout the week, tonight and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we've got revival services with Brother Mark Rogers. On Monday night, the Dalton family singers will be here from Bridgeport, Michigan. And you don't want to miss it. The tremendous music, and we'd encourage you to come out, be a part of that. And then also tonight, right after the evening service, We're going to have a little bit of an afterglow in the gym. If there's leftovers, we're going to clean them up, all right? And so come back for that. And then also, right immediately after the service, I've got a vacation Bible school workers meeting that I need to meet with. Anybody that's interested in helping out with VBS this year, it is the last full week of July, July 24th. 5th through the 28th. It's a four-day vacation Bible school this year, and that is from 6 o'clock in the evening until 8 o'clock in the evening. Buses will be running, and we're going to have just a great time. So if you could be here for that, that would be great. And I think that's just about all for announcements. I do have a couple prayer requests. Pray for Steve Crispin. Brother Steve was taken to the hospital last night. He has got pancreatitis again, and he's not doing very well. Also, if you would, please pray for Joanne Weibel. She was admitted to St. Charles also. She has got congestive heart failure and just body filling up with fluid and stuff. And so you pray for her, pray for Brother Joe, and then pray for the Free family as they're traveling, and pray that God brings them back home safe. All right? And also pray for Brother Joe Brock. This is his second Sunday down in North Carolina as pastor of Harmony Independent Baptist Church. You pray for him if you would, please. And he sent me a Facebook message. Actually, he texted me a message this morning wishing me well. And so you keep him in your prayers if you would. All right, ushers, would you come, please? Let's receive our offering for this morning. The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. As we give to God, God gives back to us. And so let's go ahead and let's ask the blessing upon the offering this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to give to Thee a portion of what You've given to us. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless in a great way. Lord, I pray that You'd have Your hand upon each and every one. And Lord, as we give these tithes and offerings to Thee, I pray, Lord, that You'd bless them to abundance, that we, according to Thy word, may abound to every good work, and we'll give You the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. You know you're getting old when your granddaughter is playing in the offertory and she's got her driver's permit. You know you're getting old. But let me just take a minute and let me reminisce. Is that all right? 30 years ago, my wife and I and my three children came to Oak Harbor. We came here just following God's direction. We started knocking on doors, and we came across a lady by the name of Mary Beekman. Sweet lady. I had a chance to, Brother Randy Rowley and I actually came up here and knocked on doors, and I had a chance to lead Mary Beekman to Christ. Roman Catholic lady, and very interested in the Word of God. She opened up her house, and we started holding Bible studies there. And Judy Brown, where's Judy? There she is back there. Judy came to that Bible study back in the spring of 1986. I think it was actually like February. And it was cold outside. And Judy and a couple of her daughters and some cousins and a next-door neighbor lady, they came to the Bible study. And we held Bible study probably four or five different times up there. And just going through the Word of God with them. Judy ended up getting saved, and several of the family members asked the Lord to save them during that time. And that was the beginning. I went to talk to my pastor, Gary Crawford, and I said, what am I going to do? I got, you know, about 8 or 10 people assembling together in a home, and I said, we've led several of them to the Lord. He says, it's time for you to start that church. And so we looked at the old church building at the corner of Church and Ottawa Street. And it was actually owned by the Southern Baptist Convention, the Maumee Valley Association of Southern Baptists. And I contacted them, and they said, oh, yeah, we're willing to rent it to you. And so we made preparations to get into the building. And then at the last minute, they said, you know what, we're going to try it again, and we're going to send another Southern Baptist pastor here to get another Southern Baptist church going. I says, praise the Lord. I says, we're coming to Oak Harbor anyway. And so we met in the American Legion Hall, which was not very successful. We had to fight cigarette smoke and fish fries the night before, and it was not conducive. In 8 weeks, we had 3 visitors. None of them came back. And nobody wanted to worship in an American Legion Hall. Later, I found out the funny thing, and I think God has a sense of humor. I sat in front of the old church building at the corner of Church and Ottawa Street, and I said, Lord, if you'll give me this building, we'll call it Grace, because that's the only way this church is ever going to get started is by the grace of God. So they called me, and they said, well, you know what? We're not going to rent you the building. And so we went over to the American Legion Hall, and I found out later by a person that had been living here all of their life, the American Legion Hall was started as a split off of St. John's Lutheran Church here in town, and originally they split off, and they called it Grace Lutheran Church. Isn't that kind of ironic? And we ended up starting there. We were there for about 8 weeks, and about the 1st of June, with not a really a whole lot going on. And I didn't know it, but there was really nothing going on with the group that was meeting at the Southern Baptists. And they called me, and they said, you know what? If you still want that building, we'll be willing to rent it to you. I says, well, I'll have to check with my congregation. So I consulted my wife, and I said, what do you think? And she said, you know what? Let's go for it. And so we went ahead and we got in there, and we painted and fixed and cleaned. And we held our first service the last week of June in 1986. The first service that we had, it was my family, my brothers, my sisters, some church friends. They came up. We had 37 on our first service. My brother Larry, who has passed away back in 1997, looked around, and he looked over at my mom and dad, and he said, the only ones here is family and friends. He's in trouble. That's what my brother Larry said. And even my pastor in Fostoria at the time, he looked at the old church building, and he said, Brother Rick, he saw those high ceilings and the stained glass windows, and he said, this place is huge. I look back at it now, I think, boy, that was so small. And he said, how in the world are you going to heat this thing? I says, I don't know. I says, if where there's a will, there's a way. If God's in it, it'll take place. And so he said, you're going to starve to death up here. Well, needless to say, that has not happened. We got into the old church building. A lot of times people will say, well, why was it the end of June? Well, the last Sunday in June is really when we started holding services. And then by the end of the summer, we had Vacation Bible School. The very next week, and let me back up just a little bit. The very next week after our first service in June, I was going to the post office. And I was checking the mail, like we really had a whole lot of mail. I mean, just getting started. And there was a lady walking up to the steps, and I held the door open for her, and it was Peggy Rohr. And I was wearing my cowboy boots. And I said, "After you, ma'am." And she said, "Hey, you got boots on." I says, "Yes, I do." And you know, the first thing she looked for today is to see if I had my boots. I almost wore my boots today, but I didn't. And she said, "Well, you got boots on." She says, "I'm from Texas." I says, "Everybody from Texas has to be a Baptist." And I says, "Hey, I'm starting a Baptist church right down the street." And I says, "I'd love to have you come and visit." She says, "We'll be there." And Ed and Peggy took us into their home. And many times on Sunday afternoon, we had no place to go. And they let us kind of camp out at their house. And they were there and was a great encouragement. Peggy, we love you. And I appreciate all the help that you've given over the years for my wife and I. It was a blessing. At the end of the summer, we had Vacation Bible School. Peggy was one of our teachers. My sister Ann came up and helped, and she was one of the teachers. And Carrie Ann helped out that day or that week. And by the end of the summer, we had myself and we had Ed and Peggy and my wife and about 15 kids. So every week we had junior church. And then we had a gospel sing. And a group from Akron Baptist Temple came. At that point in time, they were very conservative. A group called Kindred Spirit, big ensemble group. And they came, and boy, big Greyhound bus pulled out in front of that church on the corner of Church and Otto Street, and all these people started unloading out of it with all their musical instruments and stuff. And we had about 70 people out that night, and people started taking notice. That night, Brother John Phillips came, and Loretta Bordian came. And Marge and Gene Fitzgerald came. And that was, I believe, at the very end of August, first September. And Brother John had been coming just about ever since. And I remember you brought your nephew, Wes Dobelier. I thought he was your son. He looked just like you. And then a couple weeks later, we had Roundup Sunday. And Diana Johnson brought Matt and Cheryl Johnson to Roundup Sunday. And we had a feed, and we had just a great time. And I remember Ruby and Bill showed up for Roundup Sunday. And Marge and Jean came. And on October 12th, we signed our church charter and officially became a church in 1986. I wish I could say it was all just a smooth sailing. But I'll tell you what, through all of it, God has been good. Through the good times and the bad times, through the difficult times, God's been good. And in 1991, we were outgrowing that building that looked so small. We had a high of 126 in that building. And I said to the fellas, "We need to buy property." And God led us out here. We bought 5.5 acres of property. In 1993, we built our first building. It took us 5 months to complete it, all voluntary help. And in 1994, January 7th of 94, we held our first service in the old building over there. In 2003, we went ahead and built the new fellowship hall, new kitchen, and I knew that was just a step in order to get us over here. And then in 2012, we remodeled our old foyer to make plans for what we're doing right now. And in 2013, I started drawing up what we have today, and drew it all up and submitted it to an architect. And we held our first service in here on February 22nd. April 28th of last year, Facebook reminded me of what we were doing. We were running a bulldozer and putting stone in. This was just nothing but a big stone lot, April 28th of 2015. So I'd like to thank all the church for your hard work. Many of you put in a lot of hours, a lot of long days, and I believe that God's going to bless because of that. I'd like to thank you with patience towards me, because I put in a lot of hours and I become a little bit irritable from time to time. So thank you, church, for just putting up with a grouchy pastor from time to time. But thank God there's a lot less work ahead as far as working on this building than what's behind. Amen. Or I'm sorry, just the opposite. All right. Yeah, a lot less work ahead than what there is behind. We've got most of it taken care of, just a little bit to do over in the other rooms. And so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no purpose for any of us to be here. Because of what he did on the cross of Calvary and how he shed his blood and how he paid the price for our sin, that makes us available for us to be called brothers and sisters in Christ when we call on the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for what he's done in my life. And so with all of that, let's go ahead and let's have another congregational hymn, all right? Let's all stand, please. Let's turn to hymn number 130. Hymn number 130. Little as much when God is in it. Hymn number 130, let's all stand together, please.
In the harvest fields now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest call.
Sing it out now.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name, does the place seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name, are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go.
Sing it one more time. Little as much.
Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to turn the service over to Brother Mark Rogers, and he's going to come and sing for us and preach, and I want you to enjoy the service.
I got up this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
The
church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord is taking good care of me.
When Satan comes tempting and he brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The blood shed on Calvary now speaks for me.
My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
Good care of me.
Jesus saves, He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin I was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves.
We talk of heaven's beauty, and that's good. We talk of loving others, and we should. But to a dying world, the greatest thing that we can say
is take a look at Calvary. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Jesus saves, He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe it, Jesus saves.
The simplicity of Christ, the complexities of life, with simple things our Lord confounds the wise. The completion of the cross, salvation for the lost, the love of God, so simple, so profound. So simple, so profound, the love of Jesus. So profound that even angels can't perceive. So simple that a child can grasp the glory. The love of God, so simple, so profound.
The perplexities today in a fallen human race could unravel with acceptance of God's grace. Simply bow your knees to pray. Confess the Lord today. Profoundly He will turn your life around. So simple, so profound the love of Jesus. So profound that even angels can't perceive. So simple that a child can grasp the glory. The love of God, so simple, so profound. So simple, so profound, the love of Jesus. So profound that even angels can't perceive. So simple that a child can grasp the glory. The love of God, so simple, so profound. Oh, the love of God, so simple, so profound. The love of God, so simple, so profound.
It is certainly good to be in church on Sunday morning.
Well, good. I'm glad. I was afraid you wouldn't say anything, and that would be scary. I'm so glad that you're here. And I know why you're here, because there's fish frying back there. I know you're looking all spiritual and all that stuff, but you're thinking fish. There's fish. Amen. And that'll be wonderful. Listen, if you've never been around here when they're eating the fish and the stuff, you just don't know what you're missing. You got to hang around, and I'm sure there will be plenty. There will be plenty, right? So everybody, you just come and get you some food, and there's hamburgers, and there's hot dogs, and there's desserts. And how many of you brought desserts? Praise God, that's wonderful. And I'm going to ask this next question just because you know by now. How many of you brought desserts with chocolate in them? Why is that number always smaller? Why is that? It's a sign of the decay of our society. Amen. But there'll be all kinds of good stuff, and stay away from the chocolate desserts till I get mine, and then there'll be all kinds of good stuff, and you're just going to have a wonderful time. We'll have fellowship, and there'll just be wonderful, wonderful things after the service this morning. So don't run off, hang around, and we'll have a good time together. I'm so glad that you're here. Isn't this a wonderful, wonderful building? What a blessing. Amen. And I'm so pleased for Grace Baptist Church and for you, Brother Bicklehop, and your family. His church family and what the Lord has done. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. When you find that, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning? Psalm 100. Now, I'm not going to keep you long because I know you're thinking fish. I know what you're thinking. And you're thinking pie. And you're thinking all kinds of good stuff. And so I'm only going to keep you a couple of hours. No, I won't. I just want to give you some simple thoughts that I think will be an encouragement to you. Look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful building and what you have accomplished in this place. And Lord, today we ask that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word. Use it in our hearts and lives. And God, if there would be one here today lost without Christ, I pray that today they would see their need and be saved before it's too late. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You will find, if you look through the Word of God, and when you have some spare time and you just want to study something, look up the word unthankful. Look up that word. And you will be shocked where you find that word. When that word unthankful shows up in the Bible, you'll find out that God has very little use for the unthankful. That unthankfulness, God lists along with awful, horrible, terrible sins and crimes, and it's a terrible, awful thing. You know what that means? We ought to stay away from that if we possibly can. So how do you stay away from unthankfulness? Well, I'll tell you how. You be thankful. You be thankful. We have much to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful people. What we just read here in Psalm 100 tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. If you go down to verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In other words, when you come to God, you ought to do so with thanksgiving. Well, I don't know that I can. I'm just not very thankful. Shame on you. You ought to be thankful. You have much to be thankful for. I have much to be thankful for. Listen, you're breathing today. That's a reason to be thankful. We can be thankful today for what God has already done. This is the 30th anniversary of Grace Baptist Church. You know what that means? God's done a whole lot of stuff. You heard just the testimony that the preacher was giving this morning. Just hitting some little highlights of what's happened. Those are things that have all happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. But if those things hadn't happened, this couldn't happen today. We ought to be thankful for what God has already done. God has, now hang on. God has been good to you. He has. Oh, we can all whine and complain. We can all give a list of our aches and pains. And I'm old as dirt. I'm 52 now. Some of you are still not sympathetic over that. I'm going to be 53 this year, brother. It just keeps going that way. And just keeps going and going. And I have more aches and pains now than I've ever had. And I just suspect that's not going to get better. You know, I've talked to a few folks who are further down the road. And from what I understand, that just keeps on going that way. And new aches and pains pop up. And we can all make a list. And we can all whine. And we can all complain about this and that. And the truth is, God's been good to us. God has been good to us. We woke up this morning. We got out of bed. We're breathing. The blood is pumping. And here we are. Look around. God gave you a wonderful family. Okay, I'm breathing and the blood is pumping, but then there's my family. All right. Okay. Uh-huh. Did you know that God put you right in the family you needed to be in? He really did. Well, my family didn't even want me, and they sent me off to be adopted and all the rest. God was working in that too. He was. And God has put you right where you needed to be, and He gave you the influences you need to have, and He took you down a zigzag path to get you where you are today, and it was all the hand of God, and it was the goodness of God, and you ought to thank God for your family. You ought to. Listen, if you had a family like mine, they're a dysfunctional mess. Thank God for them. Amen? Yeah. Well, are you shocked? Does that surprise you? It ought not surprise you because yours is a dysfunctional mess too. You know how I know that? Because there's no other kind. So, well, I think the family ought to be perfect. Well, then go find one if you can. Maybe they'll take you in. Amen? There's no such animal. You want to find dysfunctional families? Go to the Bible. You tell me Abraham and Sarah weren't in serious dysfunction here. Isaac? Jacob, it only gets worse as it goes. You follow? I'm serious. It's all dysfunctional and it's all a mess. You know why? Because we're people. And God still loves us. And God good. Thankful. You ought to be thankful for your family. You ought to be thankful for your friends. That's one of the wonderful things about a time like this. When folks who come back and they're here and they've not been here for a long time, and you get to reminisce about what God did, and even though you've moved far away and things were all different, you're still friends. Amen. Thank God for friends. And I know people say if you in your life just have three or four really good friends, then you're a very fortunate person. And the longer I live, I think that's probably true. If you just have three or four really genuinely good friends. And when Liz and I got married and she joined me in traveling the country, and I told her she'd never traveled much. And I said, you're going to meet people all over the country that you never even knew existed. Wonderful people that love God, and you're going to make friends all over the place. And she would tell you that's what's happened. And some of them are right here. Folks that you meet and your hearts knit together and you're friends. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because friends can encourage you when you need a little bit of encouragement. They can help wake you up when you're not paying attention. And they can be a blessing to you in your life. Thank God for friends. That's one of the wonderful things about being part of this church. Amen? It is. Listen, a Christian without a church is like a fish without water. It's true. Really is. God knows you need that. You need that edification. You need that building up. You need that encouragement. You need that challenge. And you're going to find the best friends you ever had sitting right here. And that's a blessing to you. You ought to be thankful that you live in the greatest country on God's earth. That was a shallow amen right there too. You've been watching too much TV. You've been following the news. I know it's depressing. I know it's all depressing, and the worst part of it is we're going to have elections, and it's going to get even more depressing. It is. It's just pathetic. And yet, you know what? People are still trying to get in here. They're trying to get out everywhere else. They're still trying to get in here. You know why? Because with all of the mess and all the foolishness and just the craziness in our world, this is still the best country in all the world. Thank God for that. God's been good to us. We could be somewhere else where we have to go hide in order to read the Bible and be afraid somebody's going to come knock the door down, cut our heads off. Thank God for the United States of America. We still have the greatest country. Listen, all that is stuff that happened back there. Thank God for what He's already done. And those are all material, physical blessings. And yet there are spiritual blessings that God has already accomplished in our lives that we should be thankful for. When I was 7 years old in Vacation Bible School in Soldotna, Alaska, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's been a long time ago now. I'm glad for what God did back there. Amen? I'm glad that I got to grow up knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad I got to grow up in church. I'm glad all that is back there that God has already done for me. I'm thankful for redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ that's already been accomplished in my life. Listen, I'm going to heaven one day. My sins are washed away forever. Not because I'm a good person. Not because I joined the right church or I went through religious rituals, but because I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I hope you can look back at a day like that in your life. I hope you can. And if you can't, you could make this that day. And then next year you can look back at it. Amen. I'm thankful for what God has already done. Redemption. I'm glad for the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the mercy that God extends every single day. The things God has already done. But I'm also thankful for what God is doing right now. It's kind of sad, I think, when you meet a saved person and the only thing they can be glad about is something that happened way back there. Because God didn't stop back there. God is still working right now today. And by the way, don't get upset when you see God doing good things in somebody else's life today. Because it might be you tomorrow. Amen. Don't be jealous and say, well, I wish, look what he's doing for them. I wish he'd do that for me. Hang on. Just enjoy the fact that God's working in their lives. Amen. Amen. And it might be you next week or next month. Listen, we can be thankful for what God is doing right now in Psalm 147. It tells us that God is sustaining our very existence. It's God. You say, well, I'm too advanced to think that way. I know that the heart functions on electrical impulses. And those electrical impulses cause that muscle to expand and contract. And that's what makes the blood pump through the body. And that's what makes everything work. And there are electrical impulses in the brain that send signals. And that's what makes the lungs work. And that's the scientific. You got to be more scientific than just say God sustains everything. Well, now that sounds nice, doesn't it? Except that sooner or later, and I know that if your heart stops, they can shock you and get those electrical impulses started again. But I also know this, they can only do that so many times. And then it just shuts down. You know why? Because it's not really just electrical impulses. It's God. It's God that allows those electrical impulses to move and to work and do what they're doing. Listen, God is sustaining you right now. He's making your heart beat. He's allowing your lungs to fill with air. He's giving you breath and life right now. You are in the sustaining hand of God right now. That's a reason to be thankful. It's a reason to be thankful. Psalm 37, verse 25, David wrote, and he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He was talking about right now. He wasn't talking about down the road, and he wasn't talking about something that happened 20 years ago. He was talking right now. God is working in your life right now. You may not see it. You may not understand what he's doing, but I promise you that he is working right now, and you should be thankful that he is. We can come before him with thanksgiving. We should be glad for what God has already done. Thank God for all those things he's already done, he's already given us, he's already blessed us with. Thank God for those things that he is doing right now that we are partakers of without even realizing it so many times. But it doesn't just stop there. We can be thankful about what's to come down the road. We can. Say, well, no, you don't understand. There's bad stuff coming down the road. There's real bad stuff. I've been watching the news. There's bad stuff coming down the road. Do you get the sense that the whole world feels like something is going to happen? It's true. They do. There's turmoil all over the place. We see turmoil in our country and we think it's us. No, it's all over the place. People sense something is going to happen and they fear that it's going to be something bad. They're afraid of economic collapse. They're afraid of societal collapse. They're afraid of all manner of things. They're scared to death. They're afraid of evil people coming in and overtaking them and running roughshod over their civilization and all the rest. Listen, that's not just us. That's everywhere. People are worried about what's coming next. Can I be honest with you? I'm not worried about what's coming next. I'm not worried because I know how the story ends. If you don't want to be worried about what's coming next, you just need to get on the winning team. If all you have is this world, I feel sorry for you. Because it is getting ugly. And I don't want to be negative, but it's going to get uglier. It's going to get far, far worse than you ever imagined. And your only hope is not in this world. It's not in politics. Well, thank God it's not in politics. It's not in electing the right man or the right woman or anybody else. If that's where your hope is, please, please look further. Because that's going to lead you to discouragement, and that's going to lead you to depression, and that's going to lead you to fear. You need to get your hope off of the things you can see and placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the child of God, it only gets better. Because when this life is over, not only can we be glad for what God's already done and for what He's doing right now, He's got some stuff ahead for us that's even better. Do you know what He promised we could have? He promised we could have peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the world. I am. I'm concerned that somebody's going to get elected. I'm just concerned that somebody will. I don't even know who, and I'm scared to death. I'm concerned. Amen? I am absolutely concerned. But you know what I'm not concerned about? I'm not concerned about tomorrow because God holds it in His hand. I am His child. And to be honest with you, I already know that the Bible says someday this world's going to burn up and be destroyed. So my hope is not in this world. It's in the God of this book right here. And His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can have peace that passeth all understanding because I know who's in control. And not only can I have peace that passeth all understanding, no matter what happens next week, next month, next year, politically, societally, economically, I can have peace that passeth all understanding. You know what I ultimately have to look forward to? I have heaven. And this doesn't last long. I'm 52 years old. To be perfectly honest, I have probably lived more than half of my life. Statistically, I'm past the half-point mark. I am. I'm past that. If I'm able to squeak out 100 years, I'm not going to make it to 104. And if I accidentally make it to 104, I'll wish I hadn't. Yeah. And in the scheme of things, that's nothing but a blip on the radar. That's such a tiny little amount of time. It's just nothing. But what comes next lasts forever. Now listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. There are only two options. One is heaven, and one is an awful place called hell. I know we don't like to think about that. We don't like to talk about it, but it's the truth. There are only two options. There's no third option or fourth option or second chance afterwards. There's just two options. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And it will either be heaven or hell. That day that I got saved as a 7-year-old boy in Vacation Bible School settled what's going to happen to me forever. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That lasts forever. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, if you leave this life lost without Him, you go to that awful place called hell, and the truth is, it lasts forever. The very same eternity that will be spent by people in heaven will be spent by people in hell. It's the same amount of time. It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And this morning, what you need to know is If you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have much to look forward to. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And when you take your last breath here, it will get far worse than you ever imagined it could be. The good news is it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way because the Lord Jesus Christ came and shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary to pay the debt for your sin and my sin so that I can be confident in the future with Him. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, there's no better day than today. You say, well, I'm going to do that someday. I know that's important, and I'll do that someday before I die. I'll tell you what, you let us know the day you're going to die, and we'll put it on the calendar. Yeah. And we'll show up at your house the day before and give you the gospel. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? Except that you don't know what day that is. So you know what God did because He loves you? He gave you today. He gave you today because you don't know how many tomorrows you have and you don't know how many opportunities you have. And so He gave you today. So I came here for an anniversary in Fitch. Well, you can get something better than that. You can. You can get all of eternity. You can get your sins washed away forever through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Then you can be glad for what's already happened. You can be glad for what God's doing. And you can be thankful and rejoice about what God has in store. Do you have a reason to be thankful today? Can you come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have a reason to be thankful. But I'm telling you that you can have that reason today. There's no reason in the world that all of us shouldn't walk out of here with joy in our hearts and thankfulness on our lips about what's to come in our lives. I'm glad for 30 years of Grace Baptist Church, aren't you? But if we locked the doors today and said, well, it was a good run. 30 years. We'll just leave now and maybe we'll burn it down and roast hot dogs over it or something. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You didn't come here for 30 years and build all this and get this so you could turn around and abandon it all. You got to have something to look forward to, amen. Well, I've had a good life. It's been all right. It doesn't matter what happens next. I've had a good one. Well, that's all you had. You wasted it. You should be preparing for something that lasts forever. And I hope today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you'll do it. Some point today, you would do that before you leave this place. And then you'll have a reason to be thankful. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this church and these people. Thank You for these 30 years. Lord, it doesn't stop here. This is not the end of 30 years. This is the beginning of what's yet to come. Lord, there are people standing here this morning who think of their life as just what's already happened. Lord, I pray they'd understand it so much more than that. It's preparation for what's to come. God, it might be that there are some here who have never trusted Christ as Savior. If that's the case, I pray that even now Your Holy Spirit would grab a hold of their heart, convict them of the fact that they're sinners who need a Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Well, thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning, let me just ask you a question. How many of you could say on this beautiful sunny Sunday morning, this 30th anniversary of Grace Baptist Church, you could say, I know for sure, when I look back, I know there was a day when I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I know there was a day that I know for sure my sins were forgiven and I'm headed for heaven for all eternity. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand in testimony? Just stick it up and then you can put it back down. Praise the Lord. Maybe this morning, if you were going to be honest, you'd have to say, you know, I'm not sure. I'm looking back and I'm not sure that there was a day like that. mean, I've been to church and I've heard the gospel, but I don't remember a day when I got saved, when my sins were washed away and I knew for sure I was going to heaven. I'm just not sure. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you stick your hand up? Nobody's going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come get you, but I'll pray for you. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. I appreciate you being honest. Is there anybody else? A couple of folks have lifted their hand and said, I'm not sure. Please pray for me. How about you? Are you sure? Can you look back and see that day? Or are you just hoping for the best? Be glad to pray for you this morning. You just stick your hand up. Wave it at me. I'll see it. I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands raised in this room. Lord, there are at least a couple of folks who can't look back on a day when they went from death to life, when they trusted Christ as Savior and they became a child of God. Lord, I pray that even now you'd give them courage to settle that issue before they walk out the doors. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation, revive thy work, O Lord. Maybe God has done a work in your life. Maybe he's in the process of doing a work. Maybe you need to have him do a work in your life. Wherever you're at, God wants to be real. He wants to meet with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Many times our hearts get cold, indifferent. Sometimes our journey makes us apathetic. And we just need to have old-fashioned revival. Revive thy work, O Lord. Thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make thy people hear. I hope and pray that that's your prayer this morning. And if God has spoken to you, we invite you to come. Maybe you need to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know this hymn, it's hymn number 93 in your hymn book. Would you sing it with me, please? Hymn number 93.
Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead and make thy people hear. Revive thy work, O Lord, while descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now. Revive thy work, O Lord. Disturb this sleep of death. Quicken the smoldering embers now by thine almighty breath. Revive thy work, O Lord, while here to thee we bow. Descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now.
Would you look up here for just a moment, please? All of life is vain if we leave this world without Jesus Christ. God doesn't care where you're at right now. He wants you to be with him for eternity. In order to do that, you need to admit to God that you're a sinner. You need to recognize the fact and understand that Jesus loves you and died for you on the cross. And he is willing to save all that call upon him. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever including me, including you. If you'd call on Him and ask Him to save you, He would do it. Don't put off what you can do today. Paul said, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He said, "Harden not your hearts." Jesus said, "What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Eternity is an awful long time to think about the decision we should have made. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, I do pray that you would help each and every one of us to draw close to you. I am thankful, Lord, for the privilege you've given me to be here for these years. And Lord, if thou wilt, I pray that you'd give me even more. But Lord, I pray for these that are here today. There are some that raise their hands who are unsure of their eternal destiny. Lord, work in their lives. Draw them to the Savior. Help them to realize, Lord, that this life is awful short and terribly uncertain. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you bless the food and bless the fellowship. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage thy people to stick around and to fellowship and encourage one another. I pray, Lord, for your blessing. Lord, I pray that the house of God would be full tonight. We might be able to hear from thy word and, Lord, be encouraged by what we hear. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us with your presence. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.